Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. I apologize for not being able to take any additional callers. We have three lines that's available, and all three of them we have with our representatives from Save Our Southern Heritage. But I pray that you're listening today with an open ear and be informed as to what is taking place, that you can speak up at our county commission and city council office meetings that will, this needs to be discussed. We need to talk with the mayors and those involved. Ken, I believe you're still there, and I believe that you have had some contact and some insight from the state attorney's office. Tell us about your meeting with that and what the state attorney says in relationship to the desecration, the destruction, and the removal of these monuments.
Basically, there was a meeting here in Clay County with our Republican Men's Club, and Melissa Nelson was our guest speaker. I asked her specifically why the decision was made to let 44 individuals go who were protesting in Jacksonville. And she basically indicated that at that point in time, they reviewed all the information that was available and decided there was no criminal activity. She was concerned, however, though, that the assembly, or the right to assembly, was basically being abused. And I think there has to be something done to resolve that situation. Again, we're in a situation right now where the entire nation is under attack. There was a map I saw this morning that highlighted all the different locations throughout the entire country where protests are taking place. These protests are not related to George Floyd. They're related to an effort, like you're pointing out, Doctor, that we're experiencing across America, religious frustration over the inability to remove Donald J. Trump from the White House. And after a long list of failed schemes to remove him, left are saying, forget America, we're cutting to the chase. We're forcibly transforming our country into a communist nation by using violence, shaming, white guilt, and unconstitutional decrees, and there's nothing you can do to stop us. And yes, they're using the faux pas racism basically as a charge to accomplish this. So that's what we have to basically stand up against. We have an opportunity now to stand for our country, or to cower like some of our mayors and representatives have done, and bow down and take a knee to the leftists. And we cannot afford to do that.
Ken, there's a situation taking place in St. Augustine, and you or Lance or Derby, either one, can speak to the question. Tell us what's happening in St. Augustine in relationship to the monuments. I believe recently the city council there, the county commission there, voted to remove some, and I believe some have been removed. Speak to the question of what is happening in St. Augustine with the monuments.
The St. Augustine Tea Party, their town criers have been active in the historic district for over 9 years. We engage a national public on St. George Street. And this gives us a unique perspective on what's going on in America. For the most part, we left the city of St. Augustine alone, and they left us alone. But that changed when Gainesville community organizer Ron Rawls entered the picture. Encouraged by the statue toppling in Charlottesville, Virginia, Rawls started his attack on Confederate veterans memorials located in the historic district. We have no Confederate statues in St. Augustine. The city manager, John Regan, siding with Rawls, told the city commissioners that he could have the veterans' memorials taken down in a matter of 6 to 8 hours at night in secret without public interference. The St. Augustine Tea Party went on the offensive with the help of other groups over the 3-year period and stopped the removal of the monument.
Is that still ongoing with an attempt to remove it, or what is the status of it?
Well, in the recent expansion of Black Lives Matter organization and their use of intimidation has now caused the City of St. Augustine commissioners to reverse themselves and to order the removal of the monument. This will actually be the destruction of the 1772 monument because of its brick and stucco construction. This occurred exactly a week ago today. Within hours of the decision, the city manager boarded up the monument, covering the names of the veterans and the Christian crosses. And then a chain-link fence was installed around it. The people effectively deprived of their monument. In response, local people started placing flowers and flags on the chain-link fence. The St. Augustine Police Department, who answers to John Regan, appeared yesterday and removed all the flowers and flags. However, the public has begun replacing the flowers and flags. It is my understanding that there are two lawsuits that have been filed and a third lawsuit concerning the wearing of masks to soon be filed. Conservatives in the area are pushing back. St. Augustine is a blue dot in a red county, in a red state, in a red country. Pushback has begun. We invite your radio audience to join us in the fight.
Absolutely. Well, I second that statement to join. We need to join together. There needs to be a recognition that we, the people, need to stand together and stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen, or this is going to be like a juggernaut going across America. I'm thankful to see that President Trump, for example, I'm looking at an article. I'll just read the headline. President Trump accuses Black Lives Matter leader of treason. Another article here says, what exactly are you going to burn down? One of the key leaders of Black Lives Matter out of New York made the statement. He was on a, this article says, on a popular radio talk show host issued a challenge to Black Lives Matter movement leader who had threatened to burn the system down. What exactly are you going to burn down, tough guy? I'm sick and tired of it, radio host author Mark Levine said on the Hannity Show Wednesday. It was a greater New York Black Lives Matter president, Hawk Newsom, who had told Martha McCallum on the story earlier, if this country, listen, if this country doesn't give us what we want, then we will burn it down. Now, had I made that statement, gentlemen, for Derby and for Lance and for Ken, if you or I, either one of us had made that statement, we'd be locked up before sundown. But yet he was allowed to do so, and it's because Black Lives Matter is the anarchist, insurrectionist, Marxist, socialist, communist network across America that's got all of the major companies and all of the politicians, whether it's on the local level, the state level, or the national level, got them absolutely bamboozled into believing that if they don't stand with them, if they don't submit to them, if they don't act in subrogation to the demands of Black Lives Matter, that somehow, some way, that they will be on the wrong side of the political aisle. And that's exactly what we see taking place today, ladies and gentlemen. We're watching the demise of the Constitutional Republic of the United States of America. They're seeing it in the St. Augustine community. We're seeing it in Jacksonville. We're seeing it in Tallahassee. We're seeing it across America today, ladies and gentlemen. In fact, Teen Vogue magazine pushes Marxism on its readers. This article says, why is Teen Vogue pushing Karl Marx to its young readers? Unfortunately, the magazine that bills itself as the young person's guide to saving the world has a history of pushing the idea of class struggle and Marxist revolutionary ideas to its demography, its demographics as to the young people. Instead, it implicitly romanticizes communism, following a common and naive tactic of those who haven't had to live under it yet. In fact, Black Lives Matter, Black Entertainment Television Network founder Robert Johnson mocks the crowds of pulling down the statues, calling those pulling the statues down borderline anarchist. And I couldn't have made the statement any more clear myself. And so that's what we see taking place. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking today on Let's Face the Issues with three men that's associated with Save Our Southern Heritage, Ken Morrow, Lance Tate, and Derby, I want to ask you a question as to what we see taking place here in the Jacksonville area. How do you respond to the response by city council as being silent? Do we have in the city of Jacksonville, Derby, do we have Republicans that are standing, speaking up, saying anything? How about the REC? Does the REC stand for it or against it?
Well, I am calling on the REC of Duval County, the Trump Club, and the mayor and the sheriff to take a stand and condemn Black Lives Matter instead of marching with them. And all we hear about is racism and police brutality. Well, I say there is none in the USA today. Otherwise, blacks and yellow people and Hispanics would not be coming over to the U.S. every single day. As to the police brutality, those people got themselves into their own problem. And the police, when they resist, the police fights back. And what do they want? No resistance from the police so they can do whatever the hell they want? No. The police is there to enforce the law, period. And if they resist, they should be dealt with.
You're exactly right. I am thankful to see that there is an organization on the local level that's in there fighting for us to try to save our Southern heritage monuments and statues. I find it antithetical to anything that's called constitutionality if we continue to allow it to take place. We find, ladies and gentlemen, even, in fact, for our guest today that's talking about this issue, for Ken and for Lance and for Derby, you're, I'm sure, familiar with NASCAR and what NASCAR has done. NASCAR banned the Confederate flag. They banned the MAGA hats for the fans in the stands, but they've allowed Nooseman, Bubba Wallace, they've allowed what I'm calling him Nooseman, to drive a BLM car in the promotion of the socialist Marxist agenda. And yet we find that that's not just with the NASCAR. It's across the board with most all of our corporate entities where they're allowing this to take place. Even a Christian organization like Chick-fil-A, where Dan Cathy recently bowed and submitted to Black Lives Matter, made the statement that every white person seeing a black person needs to polish his boots, and I say kiss his boots, and apologize for being white. Now, I don't know of anything more antithetical to what you'd call biblical truth than to see a major corporate entity like Chick-fil-A to say to its workers that you can no longer represent Blue Lives Matter, for example. For about 5 years, they had allowed their workers in Chick-fil-A to wear the blue shirts with on the back of it, Chick-fil-A, and down below that, back blue lives, or back the blue, talking about the police officers. And now they have ordered them to cease and desist. They've apologized to Black Lives Matter for their workers wearing those shirts. But what I'm saying is, to our listening audience today, we need to recognize that we're in a war, as one of our speakers just said. We're in a war. And we're watching the submission to that in full form by our political leaders. May I remind us, we're seeing in Jacksonville, in St. Augustine, and across America, an attempt to sanitize our history and to deny the history of it. In fact, I had a, if I could say this to our guest today as well as to our audience, had an individual on Sunday morning at the church. He made the statement, we were talking prior to services, he made the statement that Jesus would be in trouble today because he had 12 men surrounding him, all 12 of them with major backgrounds that could be considered bad, and therefore Jesus could be condemned for having his 12 disciples. In fact, in the when you study the scripture, you find that all of these men were flawed human beings, but serving God through their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I find it antithetical to anything that's called truth where we find this taking place. In fact, Ken, speak to the issue that I believe several of the schools now are talking about changing the names so that it would not be offensive to Black Lives Matter. Ken or Lance or Derby, either one of you, jump in and talk about that.
Okay. The information I have is that six schools that are currently named for Confederate soldiers or officers are being considered for change. My concern is this. I was at one of the city council meetings last year, and there was a major complaint about the deterioration of the school system in the city of Jacksonville, as far as plant property and equipment. What they're trying to do now is force these changes, which could cost up to about $225,000 minimum per school, or about $1.5 million just to change the names of these schools. Spend the money where it's best used. Spend the money to educate the children and educate them on history. Don't try to destroy history.
Exactly right, and most are not aware of the fact that we've got several of our schools that they're talking about changing the name and removing any name that might would be offensive to Black Lives Matter. It's full submission and subjection to the Marxist agenda. The Karl Marx six-point plan to overthrow the constitutional form of government was to bring about racial division and radical change through that racial division, and to bring about anarchy to ultimately destroy the Constitution. And may I say, ladies and gentlemen, as you're listening today, you need to call the school board, because right now they're talking about having a half-cent sales tax on the ballot in November for us to vote to increase by 0.5% a half-cent on the dollar for sales tax for the schools. And that's a waste of taxpayer dollars. In fact, it is my prayer that through this shutdown, through COVID-19 shutdown of our schools, that parents will see that you don't have to have the public school system with the kids sitting in the classroom. Our Marxist, socialist, communist teachers' unions are the ones responsible for what we have in our classroom, where our kids are getting no proper education from the standpoint of solid academia. We used to call it reading, writing, and arithmetic with the R. We're not getting anything about true American history, and our schools should not change the names, because each of those changes, as Ken just said, would be between $225,000 and $250,000 each, and it would be several million dollars of that taxpayer increase for the school system if we allow that to take place. I'm against, by the way, in the case you're wondering where I stand. I say that we need to say no, vote no on a half-cent sales tax for the school board to be able to utilize. They are refusing to give an account. They are not accountable for the dollars they spend now, and they are using it in a wasteful fashion, because they're not teaching our kids the academics need to be taught. It is a brainwashing system paid for by taxpayers, and we should say no. We should oppose that 0.5 cent sales tax for Duval County schools, which is now controlled by the Marxist school unions, and I say no on it. It's bad enough that we're talking about, they're talking about now raising hundreds of millions of dollars and a bond issue to replace brick and mortar. And I think that we've moved away from the brick and mortar, and we need to continue with the online school system, even the public educational scenario. But what, Ken, and for Lance, and for Derby, what do you think is the answer? Do you see any peaceful resolution to what we see taking place in America today?
I'd like to say that conservatives and Republicans need to take the offensive against the Democrats. No war in history has ever been won on defense. So it's pretty stupid. Unless we attack them harder and longer, we're going to lose the country. We won World War II by bombing the hell out of the Japanese and the Germans. And we won. Nobody was called a racist, and nobody was impeached. We need to do the same today. Have some guts.
I'm in agreement with that. One of the things from the conservative Christian standpoint, we need to seriously pray and ask God to intervene, because literally what we see taking place, ladies and gentlemen, all of this is not spontaneous. It's not a spontaneous response to George Floyd's death. Listen very carefully. That is what it is not. It is a de facto move to undermine, tear down, and destroy our constitutional republic, and to destroy the potentiality of President Donald J. Trump's reelection. One of the head founders of Black Lives Matter, recently interviewed, made a braggadocious statement. We are, quote, highly trained Marxist leaders, and our goal is to try to force President Trump to resign now. And if he doesn't resign, to force him out of office and to prevent the reelection in November. One of the things that I've said for many, many, many weeks now on this broadcast is that as of November the 5th, November the 6th, shortly after the November the 3rd election. You will see all of this clamor dissipate because its designed purpose is to overthrow the Constitutional Republic and to remove President Donald J. Trump from office. It is the reason that we need to stand up, speak up, and be heard and be seen. People like Bill de Blasio, Comrade de Blasio in New York, being brazen enough to paint, to have authorized now to paint on the street in front of Trump Tower, that Black Lives Matter in a mural on front in front of Trump Tower. Here's another article that says protesters tear down the statue of Civil War hero who fought to end slavery. Quote, we're prepared to activate the Wisconsin National Guard to protect state buildings and infrastructure, according to this writer. Gentlemen, do you feel that what President Trump has done with the executive order will put some teeth in and will force some action on the part of city councils as in Jacksonville and St. Augustine and across our nation? Do you think that that's going to have an effect, or do you think they're simply going to thumb their nose at it and do nothing in the protection of these monuments?
I think
have a situation where the president can bring an end to this violence and looting. I have paid particular attention to live videos of the event, and Antifa personnel are quite visible. They are dressed in black, usually with a hood, a black mask, and a backpack. But what really distinguishes them is that they always are walking or running faster than the people around them. That's because they are searching for new targets and organizing. Focusing on Antifa and arresting them by plainclothes U.S. Marshals or FBI would avoid using National Guard troops. And taking out Antifa organizers would cause the looting and destruction to stop. Antifa has been designated domestic terrorist. So we could put those people away for a very long time.
I'm thankful that you said that because they've been designated, publicly designated, as domestic terrorists. And I believe that needs to happen with Black Lives Matter also. I've said many times, and may I repeat at the risk of redundancy on this broadcast today, that the only difference between Antifa and Black Lives Matter, Antifa is made up primarily of the white millennialists that are in the 18 to 35-year-old age group that hates America and wants to overthrow the Constitutional Republic. Black Lives Matter, made up of black and white millennialists that do not know the cause that they're fighting for. In fact, you could interview any one of them on the street, and they can't tell you who those statues represent, why they're there, why they're tearing them down. They just believe that that ought to be done because Black Lives Matter. And the Black Panthers and the Malcolm X raised arm with the fist showing black power is absolutely indicative of the fact that these are domestic terrorists. And as domestic terrorists, our law enforcement needs to not be defunded, but increased in funding and given the authority to go out and do policing. Speak to the issue of what's happening with the autonomous zone in Seattle, Washington. Do you see that as a further extension of what could take place across America, lest the law enforcement, the political leaders, allow the law enforcement to do what they need to do? Ken or Lance or Derby, either one of you speak to that question.
Well, it came very close to being done in Washington, D.C., and if it hadn't been for the president, we'd probably have a zone there. I think it's time to recognize that there really is no peaceful solution to coexist with communists. We have no common ground. The Constitution created our government to protect and defend individual liberty, and the communists are totally opposed to that concept. So to compromise with them is simply a temporary stopgap. And they just keep coming and coming. We have to destroy them. We are at war. They have to be destroyed. They won't quit coming, and we can no longer tolerate them in our midst.
So what you're saying is we're literally in America, hand-to-hand combat. We're in a what the president's calling with COVID-19 an invisible war. We're dealing with a visible war in America with the Socialist Marxist Communist Party. In fact, it's antithetical to anything that's called peacefulness in America when we allow the Communist Party USA to operate. And you look at Black Lives Matter, and I've got a dossier, a file on Black Lives Matter about 2 inches thick. And it covers all of their associations, all of their connectivity, all of their relationships to every socialist, Marxist, communist organization that is in America operating today and around the globe. In fact, the Black Lives Matter key leader has spoken with Maduro on the platform in Venezuela. They take a stand that America is bad and we need to destroy it. And the symbols, historic symbols representing the historical roots and the fundamental foundation of the United States of America is under attack today, being torn down and destroyed. I believe, as you have said, it is time that we recognize that, and it is time we hold our elected leaders responsible. Dare we speak to the fact that we have in our city today in Jacksonville, we have a city council that's not taking a stand to hold the mayor responsible and accountable, and that's not taking a stand to protect our monuments and our statues.
They are complicit. That's the conclusion I've reached in St. Augustine. The city commissioners and the city manager are complicit with Black Lives Matter. Recently, there have been demonstrations in both the historic district and at the police station, and the police chief directed traffic for them. They get to do anything they want in our city without permits and without criticism. But if we attempt anything, we are immediately threatened with arrest. That happened yesterday when the police came in and tried to take down the flowers and flags.
Yes, we're talking about a dual system of government rather than being the rule of law. There's a different rule of law for we as Christians and as conservatives versus those that are the insurrectionist, anarchist, Black Lives Matter that wants to tear down and destroy our nation. I am thankful that we've had you gentlemen on the broadcast with us today. We're delighted to have you speak to the issues that I believe confronts us as a people and as a nation. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again, we face the issues.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen. 168.